Outreach Mass, bringing Christ to mid-Michigan for 40 years.
Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to all who are watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for worshiping with us today. For those who are unable to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament today, let us pray an act of spiritual communion and ask for the graces of the Most Holy Eucharist. My Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you have already come, I embrace you and unite myself entirely to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Riley, and this Mass is being offered for the Holy Family First Saturday Memorial Mass and Intentions.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God
and to you, my brothers,
that I have greatly
sinned in my thoughts and my words, in what I have done, in what I have failed to do, in what I have thought, in what I have thought, in what I have mistreated thought. Therefore, I ask the Mary and the Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Kyrie eleison. Christe eleison. Kyrie eleison.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of good will.
Let us pray. O God, by whom we are redeemed and receive adoption, look graciously upon your beloved sons and daughters, that those who believe in Christ may receive true freedom and an everlasting inheritance. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. Who can know God's counsel, or who can conceive what the Lord intends? For the deliberations of mortals are timid, and unsure are our plans. For the corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down the mind that has many concerns. And scarce do we guess the things on earth, and what is within our grasp we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Or whoever knew your counsel, except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high. And thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. reading from the letter of St. Paul to Philemon. I, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for Christ Jesus, urge you on behalf of my child Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I should have liked to retain him for myself so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you do might not be forced, but voluntary. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother, beloved especially to me, but even more so to you as a man and in the Lord. So, if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king, advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he was still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. St. Luke begins this Gospel passage with the context. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus toward Jerusalem. And then he writes, Jesus turned and addressed them. Jesus, who is on his way to Jerusalem to take up his cross, makes it clear to his followers that they need to be ready to take up their cross. And once again, a distinction is made between those who are in the crowd following Jesus and those who choose to become his disciple. And on the surface, being his disciple doesn't sound so great. Jesus lays out three conditions for discipleship, saying, first, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And then second, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And finally, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. This may not seem like a very effective sales pitch. Just a couple weeks ago when students were back at MSU, we were advertising free food to bring them into St. John's, help draw people in. But here, it appears that Jesus is, what he's saying would push people away. Hate your family, physically suffer, get rid of everything that you have. Jesus is speaking in such drastic terms to wake us up, to shake us out of our complacency, to call us to something greater. Obviously, he's not speaking literally here, but in hyperbole. Jesus isn't telling us to break the fourth commandment, to honor your father and mother. But he is telling us to keep first things first, as Father Mac would often say. And that takes a decision. Jesus here gives two little parables about a builder and a king who both spend time deliberating before making an important decision. If building a tower, going into battle is an important decision, how much more so the decision to follow Jesus, to build your life on the foundation of faith, and to choose to enlist in the army of God. Following Jesus is not a decision to be made lightly. That's why often it takes over a year to become Catholic, to make that decision to follow the Lord, to enter his church. And for those of us who have been Catholic all our lives, every day is an opportunity to choose to follow Jesus. Especially today, Sunday, to make the sacrifice to come to Mass, even when the Lions begin their football season. To put God first, to start the very beginning of the week with the Lord. And I think there's two ways that we can approach our Sunday obligation, and even more broadly, just our choice to be a disciple of Jesus. We can come to church out of sense of obligation, right? We can come to church because we think we have to, or we can come to church because we know we need to. The first approach just rises out of a mere sense of duty. We know that we should come to Mass, so we come because we have to. And that's not a bad place to start, right? One of the precepts of the church is to attend Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. And it's good to do what the church asks of us as Catholics. But it's good to check why we do what we do. Are we doing something because we have to? Or have we chosen the better part because we want to? Our second reading today comes from the letter of St. Paul to Philemon. In that short letter, Paul is appealing to his friend to take back Onesimus, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And as an apostle, Paul could have just ordered Philemon to do whatever he wants. But in the verse right before our passage today, Paul writes, "Although I have the full right in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you." He goes on, "so that the good you do might not be forced, but voluntary." St. Paul clearly indicates that what the choice he should make, but he doesn't force him to make that choice. As he says, for love's sake. Because that's a quality of true love. That it's never forced, but voluntary. And that's why every couple that comes here to get married is first asked a question before they exchange their vows, right? They're asked, "Have you come here to enter into marriage without coercion, freely and wholeheartedly?" And once the bride and groom say, "I have," then the priest is able to continue with the next questions. But it starts there. Are you free? And if either the bride or the groom feel pressured by someone or by a situation that they're into to get married, then it wouldn't be a true marriage. Because love first requires freedom. Or as St. John Paul II puts it, freedom exists for the sake of love. God gave us our free will to choose the good. And the greatest good is God Himself. Left to ourselves, our will is weak. We can be at a loss of what to do. As our first reading put it, the deliberations of mortals are timid, and unsure are our plans. And what is within our grasp, we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Or who ever knew your counsel except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high? As I said earlier, that we can come to church because we think we have to, or we can come to church because we know we need to. Right? Without God, we're lost. And our lives don't make sense. It's like we're on a rock just hurling around the sun, not knowing what to do. And well, I'd like to quote the very soon-to-be St. Carlo Acutis. "Find God and your life will make sense." It's the Holy Spirit who gives us true wisdom. The wisdom that we need to choose to follow Christ in freedom. Let's renew that choice today.
We now stand together and profess our faith. I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation.
With confidence in his love for us, we now turn to the Father with our needs.
For the Church, may the Lord grant charity and fervor to all who labor for the salvation of souls. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear
our prayer. For all who hold positions of authority, may God's wisdom direct everything they do. Let us pray to the Lord. For the intercession of St. Carlo Acutis and St. Pier Giorgio Frassati, may their witnesses of faith be an inspiration to all. Let us pray to the Lord. For any among us who are struggling to embrace a life of discipleship, may the Lord grant courage and hope. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who suffer physically or emotionally, may Jesus bring them comfort and assure them of his love, especially Claire Belmont, our television, radio, and online community, and those listed in our book of prayer. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear
our prayer. For all who have died in the hope of resurrection, may the Lord welcome him into his perpetual light, especially Joe Moran, Robert McDight, and all the holy souls of purgatory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing and answering all of our prayers, for we make them in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns forever and ever. pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. O God, who give us the gift of true prayer and of peace, graciously grant that through this offering, we may do fitting homage to your divine majesty, and by partaking of the sacred mystery, we may be faithfully united in mind and heart through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right to give you thanks, truly just to give you glory, Father most holy, for you are the one God, living and true, existing before all ages and abiding for all eternity, dwelling in unapproachable light. Yet you, who alone are good, the source of life, have made all that is, so that you might fill your creatures with blessings and bring joy to many of them by the glory of your light. And so in your presence are countless hosts of angels who serve you day and night, and gazing upon the glory of your face, glorify you without ceasing. With them we too confess your name in exaltation, giving voice to every creature under heaven as we acclaim. We give you praise, Father most holy, for you are great, and you have fashioned all your works in wisdom and in love. You formed man in your own image and entrusted the whole world to his care, so that in serving you alone, the Creator, he might have dominion over all creatures. And when through disobedience he had lost your friendship, you did not abandon him to the domain of death, for you came in mercy to the aid of all, so that those who seek might find you. Time and again you offered them covenants, and through the prophets taught them to look forward to salvation. And you so loved the world, Father most holy, that in the fullness of time you sent your only begotten Son to be our Savior, made incarnate by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He shared our human nature in all things but sin. To the poor he proclaimed the good news of salvation, to prisoners freedom, and to the sorrowful of heart, joy. To accomplish your plan, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the dead, he destroyed death and restored life, and that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again for us. He sent the Holy Spirit from you, Father, as the first fruits for those who believe, so that bringing to perfection his work in the world, he might sanctify creation to the full. Therefore, O Lord, we pray, may this same Holy Spirit graciously sanctify these offerings, that they may become the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the celebration of this great mystery which he himself left us as an eternal covenant. For when the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, Father most holy, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And while they were at supper, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, taking the chalice filled with the fruit of the vine, he gave thanks and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we now celebrate the memorial of our redemption, we remember Christ's death and his descent to the realm of the dead. We proclaim his resurrection and his ascension to your right hand. And as we await his coming in glory, we offer you his body and blood, the sacrifice acceptable to you, which brings salvation to the whole world. Look, O Lord, upon the sacrifice which you yourself have provided for your church, and grant in your loving kindness to all who partake of this one bread and one chalice, that gathered into one body by the Holy Spirit, they may truly become a living sacrifice in Christ to the praise of your glory. Therefore, Lord, remember now all for whom we offer this sacrifice, especially your servant Leo, our Pope, Earl, our bishop, and the whole order of bishops, all the clergy, those who take part in this offering, those gathered here before you, your entire people, and all who seek you with a sincere heart. Remember also those who have died in the peace of your Christ and all the dead whose faith you alone have known. To all of us, your children, grant, O merciful Father, that we may enter into a heavenly inheritance with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, and with your apostles and saints in your kingdom, there with the whole of creation, freed from the corruption of sin and death. And we glorify you through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Grant that your faithful, O Lord, whom you nourish and endow with life through the food of your word and heavenly sacrament, may so benefit from your beloved Son's great gifts that we may merit an eternal share in his life, who lives and reigns forever and ever. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thank you, my friends, for joining us for the Outreach Mass. The Holy Mass is the self-offering of God the Son to God the Father, the most powerful prayer the world has ever seen, and we get to participate in it. But outside the Holy Liturgy, perhaps the most powerful prayer in our Catholic tradition is the Holy Rosary. Every single Hail Mary is an honoring of the Incarnation, God entering into our world, into our humanity, and redeeming it from the inside out. Would you please pray a Hail Mary for the good of our mission, for our Outreach Mass staff and ministry? And if you're able to support us, please do as well. If you wish to send a check, send it to the Outreach Mass, 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. And thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your support, and thank you for being with us. May God bless and keep you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.